We're on the bottom of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, the two dots, about seven lines from the bottom. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Nachri Sheyesh Lo Pesach Arba'a Al Arba'a, Pasuach Levika, Afilu Machnis Umotzi Gemalim Ukronos Kol Hayom Kulo Derech Mavoy, Ein Oster Al B'nei Mavoy. My taima befischa demiached le ba'ahu nechale. The Gemara says, let's say you have a non-Jew who lives in the same alleyway as multiple Jews, which again, we've spoken about a lot this past week, that normally when a non-Jew lives in the same alleyway, you need to get him to relinquish his rights to that alleyway if you want to even have a chance of carrying there. However, in this case, the non-Jew actually has another entrance that he uses to bring his stuff in. So for example, the Gemara says, let's say he has an entrance that's at least 4x4 tfachim that opens up to a valley. Even if he often will take his animals and his possessions through the alleyway where all the Jews live, but because he has his own personal doorway that goes off to a valley, the Gemara says that he's not counted as part of the alleyway for the purposes of setting up the Eruv Chatzeros. Why not? The Gemara says because generally he prefers to go through his own private entrance. Now again, he may need to go through the alleyway every once in a while, but the Gemara says because he has his own private entrance to go through, therefore he's not considered to be halachically part of the alleyway, and therefore you don't need him to relinquish his rights in order for you to be able to carry there. So the Gemara now wants to know, pasuach lekarpeif mahu. What if this side doorway that the non-Jew has doesn't open to a valley, but instead it opens up to a karpif? We spoke a lot about a karpif earlier in the Masechta. A karpif is basically a small enclosure, a storage area. So the question is, should that be the same? Should that be different? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Ami Mishmei De Opena. The Gemara quotes Rav Nachman in the name of this tradition that they had. Afilu Pasuach Le Karpif. According to this tradition, the Gemara says that even if the doorway is merely opened up to a storage area, to an enclosure, the non-Jew would still prefer to use his own private doorway that goes to the enclosure, as opposed to using the main doorway that goes to the alleyway. Then the Gemara says, "Rabba v'Rav Yosef da'amri travayu nachri beis sasayim oser yoser mi beis sasayim eno oser v'Yisrael beis sasayim eno oser yoser mi beis sasayim oser." The Gemara quotes the following halacha: that let's say, for example, again, the non-Jew has a doorway that opens to a karpif, that opens to a small enclosure. So it's going to depend on the size of the karpif. We also spoke about this earlier in the Masechta, that in order for a karpef to, in other words, in order for you to be able to carry in a karpef, we said that there have to be two criteria that are met normally, which is that it has to be less than two base sa'ah, less than 5,000 square amos, and it also has to be an area that's hukaf ledira, that wasn't set up for the purposes of people living there. So at this point, the Gemara mentions two factors. When it comes to the non-Jew, so the only way that a non-Jew is going to realistically use his doorway that goes into the karpef is if it's of a substantial size. If the karpef is a tiny little area, so it's not very likely that the non-Jew is going to ever want to actually carry anything into that area. So the only way that the non-Jew having a doorway that leads to a karpef will help you avoid the issue of having to get him to relinquish his rights to the alleyway, that's assuming that the entrance to his karpef, that the karpef itself, is larger than 5,000 square amos. If it's less than 5,000 square amos, then the assumption is that the non-Jew is never going to really use that area because it's too small, he can't really keep anything there, and therefore he is going to have to now resort to using the main alleyway, which means that you are going to have to get him to relinquish his rights to the alleyway if you want to set up an Eruv Chatzeros. Whereas when it comes to a Jew, so by a Jew it's the exact opposite, because since the halacha is that you're only permitted to carry in a karpef that's less than two beis sa'ah, that's less than 5,000 square amos, so if a Jew has a doorway that leads off to a smaller karpef, to one that is less than two sa'ah, so then that is not going to pose a problem, because there the Jew is going to want to walk through the karpef on Shabbos because he's allowed to carry in a karpef if it's less than two beis sa'ah. But if the karpef is larger than two beis sa'ah for a Jew, then a Jew is not allowed to carry there, then he would by default be part of the rest of the alleyway. And again, if he forgot to participate in the Eruv Chatzeros, that would pose a problem. So it's almost like the halachos are almost inverse for a Jew and a non-Jew. In other words, for the non-Jew, we want his karpef to be larger so that this way he would prefer to go there to store things and not walk through the alleyway. But for a Jew, because if the karpef is larger than 5,000 square amos and two beis sa'ah, he's not allowed to walk there on Shabbos, so it's actually going to pose a problem if he forgot to participate in the Eruv Chatzeros. Okay. Then the Gemara,
is the idea of the karpef the non-Jew, you keep saying to store things there. it's not sufficient that he just uses it as an exit point?
Well, the question, again, the question is it realistic for the non-Jew to walk through this doorway? The context of the Gemara is that we're trying to say which doorway is the non-Jew most likely to enter.
It depends where the carpet leads to.
Well, that's also true, but meaning, I think the assumption is that if the carpet is so small and so insignificant and there's hardly room to put anything there, so then it's unlikely the non-Jew would really ever use that entrance very often. I think that's the assumption of the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara now says, "Ba'amine Rava Barcha Klai Meiravuna Pasuach LeKarpeif Ma'am." So the Gemara raises the same question again. What would the halacha be if the non-Jew has a doorway that goes off to a karpe? So Amar Le Harei Amru Beis Tassayim Oser Yosrim Beis Tassayim Hein Oser. We already said in the Gemara before. We said that it depends on the size of the karpe, right? If the karpe is less than two beis sa'ah, so then it's going to be a problem because the non-Jew is never going to want to go through there because it's such a small area. If it's larger than two beis sa'ah, so then the non-Jew would walk through that area and would therefore not be considered to be halachically part of the alleyway. Amar ula amar Rabbi Yochanan karpeif yoser mi beis sa'ah sayim shalohukaf ledira va'afilu kor va'afilu korayim hazorek lesocho chayef my taima mechitza hi elashe mechuseres diurin. So again, the Gemara now raises the second factor, the second criteria that we briefly mentioned before, which is that when it comes to carrying in a carpe, if there really are two factors that you need to consider. So one of them, as we just mentioned, is the size, is whether it's more or less than two beis sa'ah, 5,000 square amos. So the Gemara says, let's say I have a carpe that's larger than two beis sa'ah, but it wasn't hukaf ledira, right? Hukaf ledira means that when the walls were put up around the structure, it was not set up for people to live in. It was a storage area. It was a shed. It was never meant to be a place for people to live in. So then the Gemara says that even if the karpef is up to one or two kor, a kor is 75,000 square amos. So even if it's a very, very, very large area, that's, you know, if two kor or 150,000 square amos is approximately 6 acres of land. So even if it's that size, the Gemara says that it's still going to be a problem if you carry within. In other words, if you throw something from the Rishus HaRabim into the karpef, if the Gemara says you're going to be chayiv. Why? So the Gemara says, even though this is clearly considered a valid mechitza, and this would otherwise be considered a rishus hayachid, the only thing which is lacking here is the fact that it wasn't hukaf ledira. It was the fact that the walls were not put up for the purposes of living there. And in order for a karpev to really be considered an independent rishus, in other words, it has to be hukaf ledira. If it wasn't hukaf ledira, if the walls were not put up for the sake of people living there, then it is going to be a problem. So if I throw something from a rishus harabim into this karpev, it could be up to 6 acres. But again, if it wasn't hukaf ledira, so the Gemara says that I'm going to be chayiv. So the Gemara asks, Masiv Rav Huna bar Chinna, Sela shebiyam gavoa asara verochav arba, in metaltalin lo mentocho loyam, velo men hayam lesocho, pachos mikan metaltalin, ad kama ad beis ta'asayim. The Gemara quotes the following. Let's say I have a rock in the middle of the ocean. The rock is 10 by 4 tvachim. So if it's 10 by 4 tvachim or larger, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to carry from the rock to the ocean or vice versa. But if it's less than 10 by 4 tfachim, then you are allowed to do so. And the Gemara says, how big can the rock be and still enable me to be able to carry from the rock and to the ocean and back? The Gemara says, up to two beis sa'ah. So the Gemara asks, which statement of the Gemara was that last line referring to? When the Gemara said, how large, up to two beis sa'ah, up to 5,000 square amos, what was that referring to? Ilei ma'aseifa beis sa'asayim tfei. I'm sorry, based on Sayyim Tfeilo, Fahami Karmelis, the Karmelis Kometalto. The Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that it's referring to the latter statement that we just made in the Gemara about whether I can carry from the rock to the ocean and back, so the Gemara says, well then, why would it make a difference how big the rock is? Even if the rock was larger than two base sa'ah, it should still be permissible to carry from the rock to the ocean and back. Why? Because both the rock and the ocean have the status of a Karmelis, and we know that there is no Isra, even Midrabanan, to carry from one Karmelis to another. So why would it matter if the rock was larger than 2,000, was larger than two beis sa'ah? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela lava risha, v'hachi ka'amar. Stela shebiyam gavoa asara v'rocha v'arba'a, ein metaltilin lo mitocho liyam v'lo men hayam l'socho, v'yad kama ad beis sa'asayim, ha'yeser mi beis sa'asayim metaltilin. Alma karmelisi, tiyufta de Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, what the Gemara must have meant was as follows, is that if I have a rock, which is at least 10 by 4, the halacha is that you're not allowed to carry from the rock to the ocean and vice versa, and the Gemara says, says that is only if the rock is up to the size of two beis sa'ah, implying that if it's larger than two beis sa'ah, then I am allowed to carry from the rock to the ocean and back. So what do you see from this Gemara? You see from here that this is considered to be a full-fledged Carmelis for all purposes. This rock that's in the middle of the ocean, if it's larger than two beis sa'ah, is considered to be a real Carmelis. It's not just a Carmelis l'chumra, like the Gemara was saying before. This is a Carmelis l'chumra and l'kula, meaning if the rock is larger than two beis sa'ah, this is a Carmelis, which means that I am permitted, even me midrabanan, to carry from the rock into the ocean, and that would seem to be a refutation against the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, because again, remember in the Gemara earlier, Rabbi Yochanan told us that if I throw something from the Rishos HaRabim into this carpet, this large area that wasn't Hukaf Ladira, then I'm going to be chayav. But the question is, why would I be chayav? Didn't we just establish in this Gemara right here that you're going... That this rock has the status of a Carmelis, which means that I should really be putter when I carry back and forth, or not even putter. It should actually be mutter lechadchila for me to do that. So the Gemara says, you're right. Amar Rava, mandelu yada terutze masniyasta tiyufta mosiv leila Rabbi Yochanan. And Rava said, only someone who doesn't understand how to resolve Mishnayos would ask such a question against Rabbi Yochanan. And again, Rabbi Yochanan was considered to be like the gadol ador of his generation, so Rava was trying to defend Rabbi Yochanan. He was saying, only someone who doesn't understand, you know, how to answer Mishnayos would even ask such a question. So what in fact is the answer then? So comes the first answer in the Gemara, comes Rava and says that we misunderstood the case of the Gemara. The Gemara was never talking about carrying from the rock to the ocean and back. All the Gemara was talking about was carrying within the rock, carrying on the rock itself. So the Gemara says that the only time that you're going to be allowed to carry on that rock itself is if it's up to the size of two beis sa'ah, assuming that it's not 10 by 4 tvachim. If it's less than 10 by 4, but it's up to two beis sa'ah, so then the Gemara says, then you would be allowed to carry on the rock itself. The Gemara was never commenting about carrying from the rock to the ocean. That's a separate issue. The Gemara was just commenting about whether it's permissible to carry on the rock. We'll see in a second in the Gemara why this should even be an issue in the first place. Why would I think that carrying on the rock should be a problem? Then the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar, so then Rav Ashi gives a slightly different answer. Liola Marisha.
Is this yeah. An uninhabitable rock that's just sitting there as a rock, or is it Are they defining a rock like a mountain?
No, it could just be like a huge rock in the middle of the ocean. It doesn't have to necessarily be inhabited. It's just it's a rock in the middle of the ocean. The question now, so now according to this new version of the Gemara, the question we're trying to figure out is whether I'm allowed to carry on the rock itself, not from the rock to the ocean. That was what the Gemara thought initially. The question was, but now the Gemara is clarifying that really the question is whether I can carry within this rock itself. Okay, so again, that's how Rava explained Rabbi Yochanan. Then Rav Ashi Amar Liola Mari. So in other words, the Gemara says basically that these were two cases midrabanan. In other words, the issue of carrying in a karpeth is only an isser drabanan, and the issue of carrying from a karmelis to a rishus hayachid is also only an isser drabanan. So this is the famous principle that the Gemara invokes often, called heimamru veheimamru. Heimamru literally means they said and they said, which basically is another way of saying that Chazal could basically make up their own rules. So in other words, you can't ask any questions against Dine Durabanan that are inconsistent, because Chazal could say, okay, in this case we're going to paskin one way, and in that case we're going to paskin a different way. So just because in the case of the Karpeth, Chazal, you know, Rabbi Yochanan said that I'm chaya for throwing into the Karpeth, okay, so what? It doesn't necessarily have any bearing on the case of the rock. In the case of the Karmelis, it could very well be that Chazal, for whatever reason, decided to, you know, to have different standards in each of these cases. So again, the Gemara says you can't really draw any conclusions from it. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Beis Sa'ayim Deshari L'Taltule B'chule Asri Rabbanan L'Taltule Lomen Hayam L'Sochov Lomi Tocho L'Yam. My Taima Rishos Hayachid Gemurahi Yeser Mi Beis Sa'ayim De'Asri L'Taltule B'chule Shoru Rabbanan L'Taltule Mi Tocho L'Yam Min Hayam L'Socho. My Taima Dilma Amri Rishos Hayachid Gemurahi V'Asri L'Taltule B'chule. So the Gemara has the following fascinating distinction here. The Gemara says that when it comes to a case of the area which is let's say two besa or less, right? So there, Chazal said that you're allowed to carry within that area, but on the other hand, you're also not allowed to carry from that area to the ocean or back. So in other words, if the rock is let's say less than 2,000 less than two besa, less than 5,000 square amos, so Chazal say that you can carry within the rock, but you cannot carry from the rock to the ocean and back. Why now? What's the issue? So the Gemara says that's a full fledged rishus hayachid. Mida oraisa, you're dealing with an area which is a rishus hayachid, which means that if we're going to allow you to carry back and forth, that's going to be a problem for you to carry from the rishus hayachid to the Carmelis. However, if the area is larger than two beis sa'ah, so then Chazal actually permitted you to carry from the rock to the ocean and back. Why? Because Chazal were afraid that if they forbade you from carrying from the rock that was larger than two beis sa'ah to the ocean and back, so then people would think, oh, this rock is a real rishus hayachid. That's why I'm not allowed to carry from here to the Carmelis. But the problem is that if you end up thinking that the rock is a real rishus hayachid, you're going to end up carrying within the rock, which you're not allowed to do because the rock, as we just pointed out, is a Carmelis. So it's almost like a chumrah that leads to a kula. It's because since Chazal were afraid that people would think that this rock is a rishus hayachid and therefore carry within it, they said you're allowed to carry from the rock to the ocean to confirm the fact that this is not a real rishus hayachid. Because if it was, you would be allowed to carry within the rock, but again, because it's a Carmelis, you're not allowed to do that. So Chazal allow you to carry from the rock to the ocean, so this way you know that I can't carry within the rock itself, because the rock itself is a Carmelis, it's not a rishus hayachid. So the question, though, the Gemara now asks is, well, what's the difference between these two cases? Umayshna, tocho shchiach, mitocho leyam, umayam lesocho lo shchiach. The Gemara says that there's a very basic difference between these two cases, which is that it is much more common to carry within the area of the rock than it would be to carry from the rock to the ocean and back. So the Gemara says, therefore, Chazal did not feel the need to impose a gezeira to prevent someone from carrying from the rock to the ocean and back, but they did feel the need to impose a gezeira preventing someone from carrying within the area of the rock. Okay. The Gemara now says, Ahu yinuka te ishtafe chamime. The Gemara relates a story about a baby where they had hot water that they had prepared for him for the bris. We know the Gemara talks about this in many places, where the Gemara, you know, discusses, we had this back in Masechah Shabbos, they used to have hot water that they would bathe the baby in, you know, after the bris, you know, which was considered to have some medicinal qualities to it. So the Gemara says, let's say the Gemara has a story where this hot water was spilled out, was lost, whatever it was, you know, before the baby could be bathed, and it was potentially considered a situation of sakana because this baby really need to be bathed in the hot water. So Amar Lahu Rabba, Naisu Lecha Mimi Migo Beisai. So Rabba said, okay, don't worry about it, go and get the hot water from my house. So Amar Le Abaye V'Halo Arvina. Abaye says, what do you mean? But there's no Erev Chatzeros. We never set up an Erev Chatzeros before Shabbos. So what right do we have to go and take the hot water from your house? So Amar Le. So Rabba said, don't worry about it. Nismo Chashitav. Okay, so we don't have an Erev Chatzeros, but at least we have a Shitufei Mevos. We also spoke about this earlier in the Masechta, right? A Shitufei Mevos is basically the same concept as an Erev Chatzeros, but instead of joining up a courtyards within an alleyway, you're joining up alleyways within a larger area. So the Gemara says that B'di'eved, if you didn't make an Erev Chatzeros and there's a real Shas at Chak, like in this case, you really need the hot water to bathe the baby and after the bris, so B'di'eved, you can rely on the Shitufei Mevos, on the adjoining of the alleyways in order to carry the water. So Abaye said, the problem is Amar Lehalo Shatzinim, but we didn't do that either. We didn't make a Shitufei Mevos either, so we have no justification to carry this water. So Rabbi said, no, don't worry about it. Name Rulele Nachri Lesele. Go tell a non-Jew to bring the water for us. So Amar Abaye, Boy lo osve lemar velo shavkan Rav Yosef. The Amar Rav Yosef Amar Rav Kahana ki havina be Rav Yehuda hava Amar lan be the oraisa mosvina tiyufta v'hadar avdinan v'hadar avdinan meisa be the rabbanan avdinan meisa v'hadar mosvina tiyufta. So the Gemara just points out interestingly that Abaye actually had a question against Rabba's psak and he wanted to ask his question, which we'll see in a second. He will, but Rav Yosef told him, don't ask your question yet. Wait until they bring the water. Wait until they take care of the baby and then ask your question. Why? I don't understand. If Abaye has a legitimate question, has a legitimate gripe, so why is Rav Yosef telling him not to raise the question? So the Gemara basically says that in this area we distinguish between de'oraisas and de'rabanas. When it comes to de'oraisas, the Gemara says, ask questions first and then act. When it comes to de'rabanas, the Gemara says, act first and ask questions later. So the Gemara says, since we're only dealing with a din de'rabanan here, so Rav Yosef told Abaye, hold off on your questions, let them get the water, and then ask your kashas afterwards. So that's exactly what happened. Yeah. Oh, wait, sorry. Sorry, what, Danny?
How did he get the hot water? How did the water become hot?
No, the water was heated up before Shabbos. The water was heated up before. Yeah. He was just telling him to go.
Rabbi, yeah.
I'm not sure if this is real pikuach nefesh. I think if it was real pikuach nefesh, I don't think, you know, the Gemara would have even bothered to go through all these details. But yeah, I think it probably wasn't real pikuach nefesh, but it was something that might have been helpful for the baby, I think. Yeah.
The recovery.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the Gemara now says, "Levasar hachi amar le, my bias li osei lemar." So Rav Yosef, after they brought the water, turns to Abai and says, "What was your question?" So amar le desanya hazah shivus va'amir lenachri shivus. Ma hazah shivus ve'ina doches haShabbos. Af amir lenachri shivus ve'ina doches haShabbos. So he says like this. He says, "We know that there's an isur derabanan on Shabbos to have the waters, the ashes of the para aduma sprinkled upon you." Right? The Gemara says that even in a situation of a mitzvah, right? In other words, to sprinkle the ashes of the para aduma, that's an isur derabanan on Shabbos, and there is no heter. It's not docha Shabbos to do that, where you can't do that on Shabbos. Or let's say, for example, when you're shechting the Karim Pesach, which itself is docha Shabbos, but the act of sprinkling the blood is not docha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, so then Amira la'akum should also not be docha Shabbos, even though, yes, Amira la'akum is only an isur derabanan, but why all of a sudden are we saying that it's permissible, right? In other words, if you're going to tell me that sprinkling the blood of the karban is only an isur derabanan on Shabbos, and we're not going to permit it, so then who cares? In other words, so therefore Amira la'akum should also be a problem, even though it's only an isur derabanan. So what was Rav Yosef's response? Amar lei, v'lo shani lecha bin shvus diyis be'maisa, l'shvus diyis be'maisa, d'hamar lo amar l'nachri zilachim. So Rav Yosef said, no, that's not a good question. He says, because there's clearly a big difference between these two cases. Namely, in the case of the sprinkling, you're doing an action, right? So doing an action, even though it's only an isur derabanan, that's a problem on Shabbos that we will not allow to, in other words, a Shabbos will not be pushed aside for. But when it comes to Amira la'akum, so the Gemara says that Rabban never told the non-Jew to go heat up the water for him, as we just pointed out. He just told him to go fetch the water, to go get the water from the house. So carrying on Shabbos, that's not really considered to be as significant of an action. Tosos in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos talks about this idea, how the itzer of hotza'ah on Shabbos is what Tosos calls a malacha gerua. It's a very low level type of a malacha. That's why the Gemara needs explicit psukim to tell you that it's usher, right? Most of the malachos that we know, there are no psukim in Chumash that say don't thresh, don't plow. The Torah just says don't do malacha. So how do we know what's called malacha? So that's what the Mishnayos we had back in Masechta Shabbos. But one of the few malachos where the Gemara does tell you the source is hotza'ah, is carrying. Why is that? So Tosos says because carrying is something which if you would ask me, it's not a malacha. You're not changing anything, right? In other words, it's not like I'm taking a piece of raw meat and cooking it. I'm taking seeds and I'm planting it. Right here, it's just I'm carrying an item. So I would have said that's okay. So that therefore I need psukim to teach me that it's actually a problem. So that's what the Gemara is basically saying here too. That since you're not telling the Najah to do a real action, you're just telling him to carry something. He's not changing anything. He's not heating up the water. He's not really doing anything for you. So therefore it would be okay. And in that case, it would in fact be Docha Shabbos.